Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope to meet and shape the consumer's needs in the marketplace.
Hello and Happy New Year! Welcome to a very special episode of the Bistro Podcast, our first for 2020. I'm your host, Elaine Espinola.
And I'm James Lee, who you don't normally hear today, but I am the host of the Better Series podcast, our business-focused podcast channel for the BBB National Programs.
James, thank you so much for joining me today.
It is always a pleasure to be here.
Always a pleasure, yeah.
Yeah, and thanks for joining me last week on the Better Series, where we were talking about some of the biggest moments in business, especially around regulation and privacy concerns that took place. It seems so long ago, last year in 2019.
James, it was a really great conversation. We had a lot to talk about. Many big things happened in 2019. And of course, today we're going to take a look ahead at 2020 and discuss some of the big things we expect to see in the world of data privacy and protection, which industries will disrupt the business world of the future, new regulations on the horizon. And there are a lot, James, we'll talk about that. And then, of course, the role that consumers will play in all of this.
Because they're always playing a role.
Always. Well, let's get started and talk about the biggest news and privacy regulations that went into effect today, January 1st, 2020. And I'm talking about the California Consumer Protection Act, which was enacted in 2018. And of course, this gives residents of California the most comprehensive consumer privacy rights in the entire country. This all goes into effect today. James, tell us more about it.
Yeah, it's commonly referred to as the CCPA because nobody wants to continue to say that big, long title. But it basically does something that you've seen in Europe over the last several years, but it's been developing for a while, and it does a couple of things. It gives consumers rights they've never had before in the United States, and it puts obligations on businesses that they've never had before. So you kind of break them into those two categories. For consumers, you have the right to see the information that certain companies have about you. You have the right to request that information be provided to you. You have the right to then ask them to delete it under certain circumstances, not all. And probably most importantly, if it's used for marketing purposes, you can say don't. Now, if you're on the business side, you've got to do all that.
Right.
Yeah, you've got to provide all of that. And the thing that gets a lot of business leaders' attention is you have to have this big button on your homepage that says, do not sell my information. And that's a big deal for companies because here's the dirty little secret. Companies don't always know where their information is. And so now they have to find it. They have to package it. They have to make sure it's understandable, and then they have to give it to the consumer. And that consumer can say, thank you very much, delete all of it.
Yeah. So it's a lot of onus on this on the companies.
It is.
To do a lot.
It is. And there have been studies done by the big consulting firms, one of which says 85% of the people, given the choice of clicking that do not sell my information button, 85% of them will do it. And if you take away the data that marketers use, and also in some cases just to communicate with the customers,
sure,
their existing customers, that's going to be a debilitating impact on sales and marketing. So growth is going to be impacted, and that's going to force businesses to learn how to communicate with their customers again and not just by sending them ads through Twitter or Facebook or And in the business, it's referred to as you have to have owned data now or first party data where you actually get permission to use somebody's information.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, this is going to make big waves. And as you mentioned earlier, this is considered to be one of the strictest privacy laws in the United States. To be clear, under CCPA, what exactly is considered personal information? And I ask that because as things continue to innovate, that's going to change.
Yes.
What's considered personal information today, it may not in, you know, next year.
And it has been changing. So if we think about this for a second in a historical context, California was the first jurisdiction in the world, not in the country, in the world, to pass a law saying if you collected certain kinds of data, we're going to declare this as personally identifiable information. And if you lose control of that, you have to notify people. Now, 15 years later, every state in the United States, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, all have a breach notice law. 94 other countries have breach notice laws. So the definition has already been changing. And it did not include, when we started this, it did not include things like your password, your login ID. It didn't include biometrics. It didn't include your passport if you had it. But things have occurred, events have occurred over the years that now we realize those things have value. And if they have value to the bad guys, they're going to try to get them. So it's important that we make sure the definition keeps up. So the definition in the law today in California is very broad. It's just basically the easiest thing to say is it's all personal information.
Right. Kind of everything. Yeah. Everything at this point. And many speculate that the CCPA is the first of a wave of consumer data privacy regulations at the state and even potentially federal level, similar to GDPR and how that's changing business across the EU.
It absolutely is. We're already seeing it. You know, in the same year that the CCPA was passed, you had a couple other states look at passing new laws. And then in 2019, you had Nevada pass a similar law. You had Maine. You had New Hampshire. You had New Jersey. You had a number of other states still looking at it. New York passed a very comprehensive law. They're going to pass another one in 2020. And all of that is driving consumers to say, wait a minute, and ask a very simple question. If in California, I can tell people not to sell my personal data. Why can't I do that if I live in Arkansas? Why can't I do that if I live in Idaho? Why can't I do that if I live in Georgia? Yeah, the pressure is going to build for everybody to do that. And you're already seeing companies, Microsoft is the best example so far, of saying, we're going to take the California law and we're going to make that our company policy. We're going to ignore the fact that there does not exist a federal law today. We're just going to do it across the country because it's the right thing to do. And that only puts more pressure on Congress to act and the other states to act and other companies to act.
I was going to say, it'll be very, very interesting to see other companies if they follow suit. And as you mentioned, other consumers or individuals in other states pretty much demanding the same rights under the law. All right. Very interesting stuff. Again, that's the biggest news happening today. We're also going to talk about some emerging businesses that are going to disrupt the industry moving forward in 2020. And what comes to mind, one of the first things, as I saw you roll up in your electronic car today, is the auto industry. I mean, we've had some great podcasts in 2019 that really piqued our interest on what's to come in the future. And there I saw you futuristically driving up in your little electronic car. Tell me about your new car.
In my semi-self-driving car. Which I love because I literally can put it on cruise control as I drive down the interstate and I don't have to do anything but keep my hand on the wheel. It steers through all the curves. It keeps me the right distance from the car in front of me and make sure I don't change lanes. It's great. They really are the hottest thing in car sales. You saw Ford late in the year introduce an electronic Mustang. So now think about that for a second. Mustang was the first muscle car that you could buy as a consumer. You know, and everybody like, oh my God, it's a Mustang. It's great. Now, fast forward 50 years, they built an electric Mustang that goes 0 to 60 miles an hour in 3 seconds.
Is it quiet or does it have the noise that everyone wants?
No, it doesn't. I think they probably need to record the sound.
So right. I'm sure they can do that.
So you can have the vroom, vroom, vroom. You know. But they're the hottest cars around. When I bought my car in October, the dealer told me that there were entire weekends where they sold no other cars but electric vehicles.
Interesting.
And the supply was getting lower and people were literally while I'm waiting for my car to deliver, three people came in and asked to test drive a car and they couldn't let them because they didn't have any. They were all sold and it would be another 10 to 20 days before they'd have more on the lot. So electric cars are going to this year continue to drive changes. It's going to drive changes in the way cars are delivered. It's obviously already changing the features and functions cars have. It's going to change things like how we design the infrastructure in communities. Do you have enough charging stations? There's just a whole host of things that now all of those create business opportunities for somebody.
Absolutely. And it's not just the electronic vehicles, it's the self-driving vehicles that is trending. Very interesting what we'll see there. But let's talk about as these cars become more digitized. What does that mean in terms of data and privacy within that industry and the cars having all of this data now?
I was talking to a friend of mine who actually works for Microsoft, and he was telling me that, you know, there are more lines of code in a car today, and there's more data storage in a car today than there were in some of the computers used in the Apollo space flight program. It is your car today is really just a rolling computer, and it tracks all sorts of information, everything from how fast you go, how hard you brake, how quick you turn, and that's all stored on your car. Now, sometimes that gets shared. Sometimes it's shared when you know it. Sometimes it may be shared when you don't know it. And increasingly, you've probably seen the ads from the insurance companies where they say, we'll give you a price break if you use this device on your car. Well, that device on your car is telling your insurance company you were speeding.
Right, right. Tracking everything.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see if consumers want that.
Yeah, the technology's been around for at least 15 years, but it's never really taken off. So it's the idea of, will consumers move from today, they will trade data for convenience. If it makes it easier for me to do something, I'll give you my data so I can get that free t-shirt, or, you know, I can get, you know, free tickets to the movie. I will do that if there's some convenience factor. The question is, will they do it for financial reasons? And that's still an open question. If I give you my data and you give me a price break now, will I do that? Knowing that down the road, my prices may go up based on my behavior that's being demonstrated by this data.
Right. And now this is between the consumer and the car company you're buying from. But James, what about the role of regulation? What should it be? Should someone step in and should there be a list of guidelines around that and what the cars can do with your data?
Well, that's the question.
Yeah.
And who? Is it at the state level? Is it at the federal level? Yeah. Today, insurance regulations are state regulations. So is that where it belongs? Or is this, you know, because a Ford is a Ford is a Ford, no matter where it is, do you regulate that at a uniform level across the board? That's really at the core of what has to happen. But, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. So somebody is going to do something. And the way we tend to come to regulation in this country is by anecdote. There'll be something happen that somebody doesn't like, or a lot of somebody's don't like, and then we'll have a regulation.
Right, right. And consumers' voices are going to maybe play a role there as well.
They will. They absolutely will.
Speaking of the auto industry, another disrupting service may or may not be the subscription service. Have you heard about this? And what do you think? I mean, it's an alternative to buying or leasing. There's subscriptions for everything now.
Oh,
food,
absolutely.
And you know, watches and everything, but cars.
And it's a lifestyle issue. Again, it's back to that convenience factor. You know, as we're seeing people more and more often, I don't want to own anything. I don't want to mow my lawn. I don't want to own a house. I don't want to own a car. I don't go shopping. My clothes show up because I have a clothes subscription. I don't,
right here, right now.
Yeah.
I'm wearing something. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't go to the grocery store. I go online. I order and it's delivered, or I buy a service that plans my menu for me and it sends me all the ingredients. So the idea of subscriptions as a convenience and as a lifestyle thing has really become embedded in our economy. The question is, how far can you push that?
Right. And finances, in my opinion, is where that draws the line.
Right.
I mean, there's only, you know, I might be okay with a $100, $200, maybe $400 subscription to something, but a car, I don't know what the price for that will be.
Yeah, because the ones that have been proposed and that you see out there today, and they're mainly tests, and they're not wholesale yet, but they're $1,000 a month. Now, maybe by the time you look at, you know, the maintenance and the insurance and the monthly payment and all the things that you would spend on your car except for gas, that would be covered by the subscription. Now, maybe that all adds to where you do save money. But if you're not saving money, that's, again, well, people make that judgment. Is convenience more important than finances.
Right.
And that's an open-ended question.
Yet. Sure. And what other conveniences are out there right now? If you don't want to subscribe to a car, you can always just, in your app, get a car to show up at your house in a second.
Yeah.
So much more convenient.
Yeah, a ride service or the rent by the hour.
Sure.
Kind of thing.
Exactly. Well, speaking of driving, let's talk about another powerful force that's driving the future of business. And by that, I mean the growing consumer voice. They're really driving some of the things that we want, what we don't want. We talked a little bit about that in our last episode. And if you're listening right now, please go back and take a listen to the last episode in 2019 of the Better series, where we took a look at some of the hottest trends in 2019. Again, now we're talking about 2020, but hey, we're bleeding right into 2020 with some of the trends from last year.
Yeah, and that's the wonderful thing about trends. They do tend to continue. This is an interesting one because this is where you kind of get all the things we've talked about to this point. They all kind of come together in this one little circumstance where consumers are trying to influence how businesses do business, not just what they sell, but how they sell it and how they treat their employees. The total package of consumers saying, I don't like your business practices, but I like your product. So if you change, I'll keep buying your product. And if you don't, I'm out of here. And you saw that a couple of times in 2019 with the food delivery services, where they were not paying the tips to the delivery drivers.
Right. So a consumer's paying the tip, but it's not going to the guy who came and delivered the food. It's going right to the service.
That's correct.
And consumers had a problem with that. They
had a huge problem with it. And they forced changes in those. And in one case, when that company went public, so began to trade stock on the stock exchange, they were even punished by investors for not responding fast enough. And only after they made all the changes that their own customers were demanding, did you see the stock go up? Did you see their revenue come back because the customers went back to them? Because they did like the product. They do like that convenience. And because it's the right price point, you know, they're going to continue to do that.
Sure.
But they do care about how they treat their employees. And that's a fairly new trend that, you know, you don't see. And so it'll be fun to watch in 2020 where that extends to next.
Sure. And speaking of products that consumers want, they're also interested in who is promoting that product. So something trending in 2019 and it may change in 2020 is the social media influencers and their effect on advertising and regulation in that industry. That was a huge thing. I mean, we're no longer just buying things based off of what I see in a catalog or a TV commercial. I've got people who I follow on social media telling me I should get X, Y, and Z. But then you have consumers going, wait a second, are you getting paid by this company all this time? I just believed in you. I was just trusting your word. And now I know you're getting paid. And then, you know, and then consumers are getting a little bit upset about that. They're demanding transparency. And that's playing a role in perhaps advertising.
And I think we'll see that accelerate in 2020. I will freely admit the whole concept of influencers eludes me, but it is something that it's analogous to, you know, we've always had celebrity endorsers.
Always.
We've always had people who will say this is a good thing. So for the first part of the internet world, the social media world, it was all about my friends telling me, I did this, you should do it too. Now we've developed this whole group of people who that is their job.
Yeah.
Is to test things and tell you about them. And so it'll be interesting to see how that develops this year, and particularly because now you have the idea of ad fraud.
Right.
And you have the idea that not only may the influencer be misleading you, but maybe the influencer has been misled.
Right.
And they don't even know.
That's right. And the FTC, I mean, this has caught the attention of the FTC. And now they're stepping in with some guidelines on their own. So it was sort of the wild, wild west, if you will, on Instagram and some of the other channels with these social media influencers and what was happening there. But it'll be very interesting to see how this all unfolds in 2020. Hey, James, I want to thank you for joining me on this New Year's episode of The Bistro as we talked about some of the things that we might expect to see in 2020. We're moving into a new decade. It's very exciting. It's sure to be filled with more technology, more innovation, more empowered consumers, I'm
yes.
sure. You know, we're here to all enjoy it, but at the same time, we want protection. And so I think that's going to be a hot button moving forward in 2020 as well. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be a fun and exciting year, as they all are.
Yes, they all are. James, thank you again for joining me.
You're very welcome. Enjoyed it.
On behalf of BBB National Programs, I want to thank our listeners and encourage you to subscribe to the Bistro and Better Business, Better Series podcast. You can visit our website, www.betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Until next time, it has been my pleasure discussing better business and an exciting new year ahead with you.
You just enjoyed the Bistro podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTL programs. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@BBBNP.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.